Ben, obviously, he'll be going to Canton in a year or two, and obviously one of our great players of all time. Rewrote the record book for the Steelers, and you know, got us two more Super Bowl trophies. Top 10 player of all time at his position, so obviously a very deserving member of the Hall of Honor this year.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. By the way, as an aside before we get to Rooney's comments, speaking of 50, Donnie just said off the air, he thinks he's seen Happy Gilmore upwards of 50 times, the original.
And it might be higher.
I can honestly say, and I'm not anti-movie, I just like sports more. I've never seen a movie that many times. I like Goodfellas, I've seen it a lot. I like Dumb and Dumber, I've seen it several times. There's no way I've seen any movie that many times. More than 50. How about these Rocky movies
that are on right now? These are high up there, too. These are very high up there, too.
We're watching R.I.P. Hulk Hogan against Rocky right now in Rocky 3.
I mean, hey, you got to watch him at least a handful of times to be able to recite 75% of the dialogue.
So if you want to get on the text line at 412-928-9370 or get on our YouTube page or tweet us, is there a movie you think you've seen more than 50 times in your life? 412-928-9370. Fan weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Looking like 60-degree weather in San Francisco. It's cold there in the summer, man. Right there on the bay. So a chilly one for the Bucks and Giants, and it is Mitch Keller on the mound. That has not changed. We still have two tickets to see Chris DiStefano, the comedian at the Byam Theater on August 23rd. Have you seen him? Do you know him? Was he in the Brady Roast, or did I just say that?
I don't remember him from the Brady Roast. I'm also laughing. So the discussion from last segment when you said who would drink warm milk before bed?
Yeah.
Somebody on the text line, Limits drinks warm milk before bed.
Yes. That is actually true. All right, so this is good because we don't have Ben Roethlisberger's biggest antagonist on the show. And Mueller would ruin the conversation because he would just be too negative. So I'm going to look at this as someone that loved Ben, but also wants to put him in proper context. He should go into the Hall of Fame on his first try. And the Steelers made the right move. You don't make people wait to go into the Hall of Honor unless they're AB and there's a bridge that needs to get mended. It's his first time he's technically eligible. I don't exactly, what is it, 4 years with the Hall of Honor, I think is what they've decided.
Mm-hmm.
It's four instead of five. That way it's not redundant where they go into Canton and the Hall of Honor in the same year. So Ben's finally eligible. He goes in with Pouncey at the same time. They ride off into the sunset together again. But Art said there with the media on Saturday, Donnie, that he thinks Ben is a top 10 quarterback of all time. Now, I'm going to be charitable in this way. Let's just for the sake of, you know, two guys that are in their 30s and 20s talking about this and not guys that, you know, have hemorrhoids and urinate themselves. Let's just leave like the Otto Grahams and Johnny Unitas's out of it.
Okay, so I was,
you know, let's just do that.
That was one of the first
let's
names
just say,
I was going
let's
to bring
just
up.
Take the old fart quarterback so we never really saw play out of it and just leave it to guys that we could have reasonably watched in our lives. I'm going to give you 10 names right now. You tell me if this is like, you know, musical chairs and there's only 10. If you're going to put somebody on, somebody's got to go. Brady.
Yes.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Dan Marino.
Yes.
Joe Montana.
Yes.
So that's an easy five, right?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt there. Would you even want to argue any of those five guys? I don't think you can.
No.
Even though Marino never won a Super Bowl, who in this town actually would argue that Marino was worse than Ben? I don't think anybody would. And they wouldn't just Super Bowl scoreboard watch.
I actually believe the claims. I don't know if he made them himself or somebody else did, that he could throw for 6K.
In today's NFL.
I think he actually could.
I think, look at his numbers in 84.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are probably the five best in league history.
Okay, so there's a five that you don't even want to put up an argument with me on, right? Okay, here's the next five. John Elway. Terry Bradshaw, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. What do you do with that? And I'm saying this, you can love Ben, but also think that the owner kind of exaggerated how good he was.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a horribly hyperbolic statement where he would have said he was a top three or even top five. Like, here's the thing.
And I'm not even counting the Unitases and Otto Grahams and those guys. I'm just talking about dudes that have played in the last 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, the way it hashes out, Ben will be outside of the top 10, but it's narrow. It's like a top 12, top 14.
Who would you kick out first for him from that group?
Run through those again.
Elway, Bradshaw, Favre, Rodgers, Breeze.
Probably Breeze, oddly enough. But, I mean, I think Favre is a very easy yes, he should be in there.
Even though he's got a lot of interceptions.
Yeah,
his peak was incredible and he played forever.
Yeah, what, 3 MVPs in a row? He won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Rodgers, 4 MVPs.
Won a Super Bowl, beat Ben in a Super Bowl. Bradshaw, Super Bowls. One regular season MVP.
Yeah, and Bradshaw, I feel, never gets enough credit for how good he was.
I tell you guys all the time, I think he's the most underrated player in Steelers history, which is funny to say about someone who's in the Hall of Fame and is a 4-time Super Bowl champ.
So, yeah, I mean, I would put Elway over him, but it's... Elway and Breeze are close, but if I had to pick, it would be one of those two.
Breeze was the most accurate passer in the NFL 6 times. He led the NFL in passing yards 7 times. He led the league in touchdowns 4. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a Super Bowl champ. I don't care if he played his games in a dome on Mars or, I know, at Fort Cherry High School. I don't care. The numbers are just so obscenely good. I don't think you can say Ben was better.
Yeah, for the record, he's just the one I would remove, but I wouldn't remove any of them. What about Steve Young?
That's what I mean. I didn't even get Steve Young. I didn't include. Aikman has 3 rings. I didn't put him here. Like,
I feel like Ben's actually better than Aikman, though.
I think he is, too. But I'm just going off of guys who I would put into a top 10, and I think I came up with 10 names that are better. And I don't think it's disrespectful towards Ben to put any of those guys ahead of him.
I think that's why when we've had these conversations about Rodgers and Ben over the last couple of years, too.
Yep.
And I know the one time that we all did power rankings, since I knew you guys would not put Ben on there, I did.
Wait, what was that for?
We did some sort of power ranking, like quarterbacks of whatever era. And I put Ben on there over Rodgers just because I knew it would fire up Malzahn. But the fact of the matter
is... Wait a minute. You didn't even believe that. You just did that to try to get under his skin?
Oh, I told you guys after that, too.
Oh, what a move. Did he in the moment believe... Did he even believe you in the moment? Or did he know when you were actually doing it, it was just an attempt to piss him off?
I don't think he knew in the moment. I feel like I had to tell you guys after.
So he was genuinely... peeved off that you were doing that and putting Ben ahead of Rodgers.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is Rodgers is ahead of him, and that's where I feel Rodgers is a top 10 guy. Ben is more like top 12, top 15. Like, I'd feel comfortable, I think, saying he's a top 15 QB of all time.
Yeah, I mean, how many other guys would we need to compare him to?
I mean, and that's even if you wanted to throw, like, Unitas in there.
Yep. Bart Starr, Staubach, we didn't bring up. He's in the Hall of Fame. One of the great quarterbacks of the 70s, even though he lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl twice.
But like Ben, I feel as if Ben overall, like his full body of work, I think it's better than Kurt Warner. I think it's better than...
Of course it is. Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
How about Dan Fouts, your dad's all-time favorite?
How
about Danny Fouts?
I do think it's better than Fouts, even though
me too.
Fouts kind of revolutionized the
Of course, the Air Coryell.
Yeah.
Art Rooney, too, calls Big Ben a top 10 quarterback of all time. I just gave you the list of guys who I think should be ranked ahead of him. How many of them, or who do you disagree with? Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, Favre, Bradshaw, Marino, Montana, Elway, Patrick Mahomes. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Among guys that are still in, the best call will win the tickets to the comedy show at the Byam Theater next month. 412-928-9370. Is there anybody else playing right now besides Mahomes? Well, here's another guy that people, no one would bring this up here. How about Jackson? Two MVPs.
Oh, man. We ready to do that yet?
I'm not, but you know, like the knuckleheads on ESPN would probably already say that Jackson's better than Ben.
Well, Chris would.
Chris probably would, too. I should text him that and say, Mulsey, I know you're eating hot dogs and posting them to the Going Low account right now, but would you put Ben ahead of Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I don't think I'm there quite yet, but...
What if he wins one Super Bowl? He's got two MVPs and he's got a Super Bowl title.
That
would change the narrative quite a bit.
I think he's already pretty close.
Burrow's got a shot, too.
He's got a shot, but I mean, he doesn't even have... Like, he's kind of falling into the trap of being almost as good as the, or even sometimes better, as the guy that wins MVP every year, but he hasn't been able to grab it yet. He went to that Super Bowl in his second year, and
yeah, he's got
there's
no...
already a fear, will this guy be this generation's Rivers or Marino?
Right, he's got no individual accolades yet. He doesn't have an MVP. I don't think he has an all-pro yet, Donnie.
Like, Ben kind of fell...
He does not.
And Ben fell victim of that same sort of thing.
Right, but he got the Super Bowls to make up for it.
Right.
That's the difference.
But it's like, okay, this guy had to play his whole career with Manning and Brady in his conference. You know, how often was he going to be the MVP or a first-team all-pro?
I've got people here on Twitter telling me they think Elway and Ben are close, and we need to revisit that. Elway won two. He also went to the Super Bowl and lost a bleep ton. Lost to Washington, lost to San Francisco, lost to the Giants.
He was the MVP for 33. He was the MVP in 1987.
I knew that. I don't know, man. Like, you could easily make the argument, and they did. He was the all-90s team quarterback, that he was the best quarterback for that whole decade. Because Favre didn't come on until the mid part of the decade. Young didn't play long enough. Aikman just was able to ride shotgun and win championships.
Yeah.
Montana didn't play for the entire decade. Marino did, but his play tailed off. So, I mean, come on. I know we're in Pittsburgh, but I can't say that.
I think I'm comfortable saying that he's like top 12 to 15. And there's
same. And Art just got a little excited there with that answer.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean,
it's his guy.
It also sounds a lot better to say, he might be top 10 or he might be a top 12 quarterback in league history.
If Mueller owned the Steelers, he would have said what, top 30?
Top 45 to 50 behind Warren Moon.
Here is Marcus on the fan. Hello, Marcus. Marcus?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I love Ben. I'm about as big of a Ben supporter as they come. But, I mean, we need to face facts. I mean, Josh Allen's quickly approaching him. I mean, you got Burrow. I mean, Burrow's going to be in the Marino category, it seems like, being that they don't put no defense around him. I mean,
well,
Dan
went to a Super Bowl and also was the MVP, and Burrow hasn't. Well, Burrow's got the Super Bowl part. He's got to get the MVP part.
But he's on his way with the stats. I mean, if he keeps putting up the stats like he's going. I mean, he's going to bypass him.
Wait a minute. You think Josh Allen is on the career path to be better than Ben?
I honestly do. I mean, he has an MVP ahead of Ben. Ben never had an MVP.
What's he done in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, he didn't do that great in the playoffs so far, but, I mean, he's still young now. I mean, he's, what, 6, 7 years in?
I mean he's 29 years old. Ben had two Super Bowls by then. I like Allen a lot. I'm not here to like completely disparage him, but I kind of feel like Allen's a poor man's Ben. And thank God Mueller's not here to hear me say that, because I feel like he would take great offense to that.
I think he could close the gap on Ben, though.
Well, you got them winning the Super Bowl this year, so that would go a long way
finally,
in doing that.
Finally getting over that that Buffalo hump that they have. But, I mean, the lack of Super Bowls at this point is concerning for him because, again, he's falling under kind of what guys in every generation do, where it's like they can't quite get past like.
But
a
Marino's
QB.
Numbers are so overwhelming, I don't care that he didn't win Super Bowls when putting him in a top 10. They're just
well, no,
too
I,
good.
I understand that. There just aren't many guys, I feel, that have that type of resume where like they don't even have a single Super Bowl to accompany them if it could bolster them up. Marino is just kind of in a like world of his own over there. Is like, okay, he never won a Super Bowl, but I don't think a single person will doubt how good of a quarterback he was.
No, he really gets a pass where people like don't bring up his playoff failures or playoff losses as a real like negative or stain on his career. You notice that?
Like, yeah,
people
because he
don't
was
really
just
bring up like specific games that he lost and say, well, you know, if Marino's a great quarterback, why did he lose the 85 AFC Championship game to New England? You know, people don't really harp on those things with him.
And he also went out with maybe the worst final game of any Hall
yes,
of Fame
against
quarterback
Jacksonville.
In
what was
history.
The final score of that game again?
Like
62-7 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown at like the end of the first half and it made it like a 38-7 game.
Mike Wilkinsburg. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, but you guys are way off the mark with the Ben Roethlisberger not top 8. I got him top 8.
Okay,
he's ahead of Brees, and he's ahead of Brett Favre easily.
How is he easily ahead of Favre?
Well, let's see. How many times did Ben throw 7 interceptions in a wild card game? I've watched him throw
I don't know,
away.
How many times did Favre fall behind 28-0 in a playoff game?
Oh, you're talking about old Ben?
That doesn't count as part of his career. He gets absolved of being old. Those years
yeah,
don't
I mean,
count.
He always, yeah, well, I mean, if you compare old Ben,
John
to
Elway won Super Bowls in his late 30s. You're allowed to do that. Brady won him in his 40s. What are we doing here?
Well, what about no? Because Brett Favre couldn't even make the playoffs in his last year. That's
in his second to last year, he was 40. They went to the NFC Championship game when he was 38 in Green Bay. They went 13-3 and went to the NFC Championship game. What is that noise? I'm putting you on hold because your phone is making a lot of noise, and I'll give you the tickets for being argumentative. Thank you. What are you going to say, Donnie?
Well, I was going to jump in and say the same thing. Old man Favre couldn't win? He threw a horrible interception in the NFC Championship game,
yes,
but they were very, very close to going to the Super Bowl.
Adrian Peterson also fumbled in that game. That seems to kind of get glossed over.
Yeah, and again, it was what? Was it 95 through 97 MVP seasons for him?
Yes. Yep. He never threw 7 interceptions in a playoff game. He did throw 6 against the Rams. I remember that game, the 01 season. That wasn't good. But, I mean, Ben didn't exactly get off to a red-hot start in that Jacksonville game, Donnie. There's another one. But I don't really like saying horrible things about Ben right now, but when people call in and say, you guys don't know what you're talking about, he's definitely better than Brett Favre. I mean, I'm going to get a little defensive there, and I'm not even a Packers fan. But it really isn't. The guy, how many MVPs did he win again?
Favre?
Yes.
3,
thank
right?
you. Yes, yeah. He was the best player in the NFL 3 years, although he split one with Sanders, which was weird. You go back and look at the numbers that year, Sanders probably should have just won it on his own.
Wonder if Ed Bouchette had a vote on that.
He would have voted for Favre based on the things he's told us about.
I don't know, Andrew.
Sanders. Well, topic of the day coming your way in 15 minutes in the Donnie Football Debrief. Ben Cherington, much maligned GM, and for good reason, talks about the MLB trade deadline. That is on Thursday. His final comments before he either makes big moves or makes little tiny moves. Maybe a combination of both. Either way, we have Mitch Keller scheduled to pitch in about 6 hours, which leads everybody to believe that he's probably staying put. Hey, The Fan is doing something cool to support Pittsburgh Public Schools and their students by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive. Presented by Target Freight Management, you can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping them off at a location near you, including one of my favorites, Piatta Italian Street Food in Robinson in the Northway Mall. For details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation, brought to you by GBU Life Insurance, annuities and member benefits since 1892. All right, Jeff Hathorn with us for his look at Steelers training camp. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Andrew.
The Hawk is on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, Cordell Patterson got cut earlier today. Huh. He announced it himself, called himself a washed-up kick returner. I didn't understand, Jeff, why he was on their roster for the entire offseason. I was shocked that he was still on the team when they got to camp, and it sounds like he didn't even work out. Like, he saw this coming, he didn't even practice, that this was kind of a done deal.
It is the most perplexing thing for all of us, too, because he was not around for any of the offseason work, including minicamp, which is mandatory. And then Saturday, we saw him. Like, all of a sudden, he was there. Wasn't in uniform, but he was in, you know, he was there on the sideline, and thought, what do they need him for? Why do they have, what's the loophole in the cap or something that we haven't figured out as to why he's still on the roster? And then, you know, we find out today from him that he's been released. And listen, in his peak, he was a difference maker, but you know, what we saw last year and the injuries that he dealt with, I mean, he could barely practice all season. You know, you kind of knew this was going to come.
Jeff, the kickoff is back in play a little bit with the rule change from a year ago that still is in effect for this season. So who would you expect to be the Steelers' return man this year?
It's an interesting mix because I think Gainwell could be it. I think Caleb Johnson could be it. Outside chance of Austin. But I look at those guys as the lead dogs. I mean, other guys that have been working on it at camp, Jaylen Warren, who's done it before, Roman Wilson has tried to show that might be a place where he can find some reps because special teams are going to be huge for him. We'll see how, you know, that'll be one of the things we can watch for in preseason. Like, who do they put back to return kicks? But, I mean, Warren is the guy who's done it. Austin's done it. I think Caleb Johnson's a guy that they're interested in at that position.
Jeff, give me somebody who really impressed in non-padded practices to start Steelers training camp.
I mean, can I cheat and say the entire secondary? I mean, different guys are making plays, whether it's Ramsey with the nice pick stepping in front of Jonnu Smith, whether it's Chuck Clark coming in off the plane and stepping right in and having a couple of PBUs, or the energy of a Brandon Echols making an interception. And Deshaun Elliott kind of, at least in non-padded practice with mostly shallow routes, able to kind of command that secondary and get guys to where they need to be. I mean, we're talking about three corners and then two safeties, and this group has never worked together. Most of them have never been Steelers before, and you're losing Minka. If I had to narrow it down, I really think Deshaun showed some leadership qualities and just kind of getting these guys on the same page to be able to make some plays. But different corners are making plays. We saw at times where Joey has had some really good coverage, whether it's on DK or in different situations. It's been, I think the secondary has been, if there is a group that stood out, it's been the secondary.
And we know that the communication was such an issue last year because they told us as much.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. One more on Clark to go back to him. Do you think Clark will play more than Thornhill?
Let's see how the preseason plays out, but he's been more noticeable than Thornhill early.
Okay, but there's the possibility and there. You don't think it's a
yeah, I think that's a possibility. All and right. I do like guys, I think we've discussed this before, but I do like guys that have a chip on their shoulder coming to a new team, and Thornhill definitely has that for the way that all ended with the Browns.
Absolutely. Jeff Hathorn with us here, 93.7 The Fan. They say if it bleeds, it leads. So I did a bad job here and didn't ask you who the biggest disappointment has been in Steelers camp for 4 days. Who would it be?
I mean, the injury to Broderick makes that disappointing, that he couldn't go last practice. He had a...
Uh-oh. We lost Jeff there. We were getting into some juicy stuff with Broderick Jones there and how he is not what I want to hear him described as, a disappointment in training camp thus far. Critical year for him individually, but it's one of those situations where, yeah, the team, if he's not good, it's not just next man up, Jeff. If Broderick's not good, you can't just say, all right, Dylan Cook, go get him. So hearing you say that he's been a disappointment for 4 days, still early, I get it, but that's not really what I want to hear.
And listen, the first couple of days, I think he was okay, and then he's been dealing with something since Saturday. And then obviously Sunday, he did some individual stuff and then couldn't go. So I think something is playing into this, whether it's the heat, because we don't know, other than a soft tissue injury now, what has been playing into it. But yeah, to your point, I mean, Dylan Clark or Calvin Anderson. Anderson's a guy who started in the league. I think he's their lead swing tackle. I think they wanted to give Cook a longer look because of the injury that he dealt with last year.
The Titans have waived Treylon Burks, the former first-round pick wide receiver. Now, he got to Tennessee after Arthur Smith left town. Another former Steeler target, Cortland Sutton, signed a contract extension with Denver. I'm pointing out these newsy wide receiver moves, Jeff, because I want to know, and people still want to know, the state of wide receiver two with the Steelers through 4 days. Do you look at what they have and say, they're good, they can get by with what they've got?
I think it's really an incomplete at this point, because let's see these guys, including Roman, when they have to go over the middle, not that they're going to get laid out, but that there's going to be contact. And they've run a lot of shallow routes. I mean, it's been 7-on-7 where you've seen the bigger pass plays, but in 11-on-11, it's almost like they're trying to get into a rhythm by throwing a lot more, a lot shorter stuff. So they really haven't had a chance, DK included, to show some of the things that I think they're capable, or at least like Calvin might be capable of doing. So I think there's a little bit more time before we decide, but obviously that is an area where, I mean, you're looking at options. Wide receiver two could definitely be in that mix. It's up to one of these guys to wow them. And I don't think they've had the opportunity to wow them through the first 4 days.
How have the quarterbacks looked? I talked to somebody yesterday on Aaron Rodgers who said, don't believe Twitter. He actually has not looked good in practice so far. Do you agree with that?
He's been all right. He's made some throws that you're like, okay, this is the dude. And then he's made a couple other throws. Now, he's had a couple of bad snaps. There have been a couple of times where he's dealt with a rush, where he's just had to throw the football away. And then he's had a few where either he's made bad passes or there's been miscommunication with the receivers. I mean, the offense hasn't been great. But I'm not going to – I think there's been enough in there with Aaron. I think his first day was sloppy, but I think the entire offense was sloppy. Frazier was sloppy at center. There were just some things that just weren't clicking overall offensively.
Jeff, would you like to say something on Will Howard that gets people excited? Because that seems to be, and I agree with this, a player who we're all, and you especially, are rooting for and hoping can be this Cinderella story where he goes from sixth-round pick to Steelers starting quarterback someday?
I'm sure you guys can imagine the different reaction when Will Howard completes a pass compared to anybody else. I mean, there is a huge rooting section, and I'm sure they're not all Ohio State people that have come into the Steelers organization to cheer him on. He's very likable. The fans have drawn to him. He signs a ton of autographs. He says the right things. I mean, if you look and it's out there, his completion percentage is great. So is Kent Graham's one camp. So I think we all need to slow down a little bit with Will Howard. But, I mean, he's made a couple of nice throws, some of the short throws. Now let's see what happens when he gets to extend plays a little bit more and the pads come on. And obviously the quarterbacks aren't going to get hit, but they're going to see a little bit more pressure.
Jeff Hathorn, check him out, 93.7thefan.com. I think, Jeff, did you agree or disagree with Art that Ben's a top 10 quarterback of all time? Did you weigh in on this yet? Where do you come down on it?
If he is not 10, he is 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I mean,
Donnie and I put him.
Yeah, I mean, he's – what a great class. And you know what's so awesome about this Hall of Fame – like this Hall of Honor class is that everybody saw these guys play. I mean, that's cool because there are some years there's some guys, but, man, this class is awesome.
What are you trying to say? You don't like when the guys from the 40s and 50s go in?
No, it's great, but – wait till we hear the cheers for Ben and Pouncey to be introduced against Miami in that game.
Oh, I didn't know it was for that game. Okay, there you go. There is added incentive now for that one. All right, Jeff, thank you.
Thanks.
Jeff Hathorn, do we play the departing sound effect now, or are we good, boys, on that? Do we have to play it again, or did we get our one training camp?
I thought it was just the one.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's good with me. All right, that music means it is time for the Donnie Football Debrief. Donnie back in studio. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Or following along on 93.7thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you are, thanks. Mulzy's playing another round of golf today. He's probably going to get to 100 rounds this year. Has Donnie watched Happy Gilmore more in his lifetime than total rounds of golf played by Mueller this year?
Oh, no. No, I don't think that's close. You know what the Mueller family should do, I think, going into 2026?
What's that?
I think that Chris should keep track of how many rounds of golf he plays when Alex keeps track of how many books she reads.
Because remember, she reads like 150 books a year.
Yeah, that she'll read like 3 books in a weekend.
Yeah. You know what you should start doing? Keeping track of all the old games you watch.
We should do that this year, this season.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of my, like, treadmill viewing, too. I was just watching one on the 2015 college football season this morning.
We are sickos.
You want to know how sick I am? I think this will actually make you proud that you're a friend of mine. So, Sarah was out of town this weekend, another batch party.
Yep.
Surprisingly not in Florida or Mexico.
She didn't have to pay a fortune to go there?
No. Now, it is a wedding that we have to go to Naples, Florida for, so the girl was at least considerate that...
With this one.
Yeah, there would be like a cheap batch party to go along with it. So, I get back after Bucko Talk. I got some buddies coming over like around noon, 12:30, 1 o'clock. We're going to, you know, just have some pops, you know, play college football 26, watch Happy Gilmore.
Yep.
So before then, I'm just kind of waiting around. I'm like, oh, I'll just put something on, like, on YouTube. It's just a Steelers-Seahawks game from, like, 1997. Like, ooh. 97 or 98. Warren Moon was very late stage in the career.
Yep.
And I want to say the Seahawks came in at like 3-0 or something. The Steelers were like 1-2.
And how did you arrive on that game to watch? You just said, screw it.
It just popped up in like the suggestions. I'm like, I'll throw that on.
How long did you watch it for, the whole thing?
It was like a condensed like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I
get caught up doing that a few times a
week.
Yeah,
and Chris makes fun of us for that, but he can suck it. The Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. On Wednesday, Donnie will be out at Sharky's from 6 to 10 for another special training camp broadcast. What's the story you were telling me about the restaurant or bar connected to Sharky's that you used to frequent? What's the story there?
Oh, so the pier,
yeah,
is what it's called. It's like their outdoor deck area. So when I was in college, this would have been, I guess, junior year, if the math is correct. It was like the winter break after just turning 21. And at this point, at least a handful of my buddies from back home are 21. So, you know, we go back there. One of my best friends, you know, he had an off-campus place. He went to St. Vincent. And he was like, hey, let's go to the pier on like one of these Saturdays. Like, you know, they like close in the little porch deck area, college football on, and they do bottomless mimosas for $10.
Okay.
And
wow, what a deal.
Oh my goodness. I think we may have been a couple of the reasons why they
stopped the promotion,
jumped up that price or got rid of it entirely. I don't know if they still do it. I'll have to find that out on Wednesday. But my goodness, did we do damage there? And we were freshly 21, and you know, we wanted to be the guys that like immediately got one, immediately drank it,
put the glass in the air, bring another one over.
They came back over. There was a point after many hours on that bar stool that I walked to the bathroom and I was just like mentally saying to myself, holy cow, I don't know how I'm going to get there.
There was a bar here where I went in and I attempted to drink every beer they had on tap. And there were a ton of IPAs.
Oh no, that sounds horrible.
And I got
now
4 or 5 deep. I said, this isn't feeling good.
Yeah, because those things will be like 14%.
Yep. So I'm like, maybe I need some food in my stomach. Ate a large steak and a baked potato. Had 3 or 4 more beers. Went into their bathroom. Started puking my brains out. And needed a friend to drive me home. So I did not get really that close. There might have been like 15 beers on tap. So it was ambitious of me.
I mean, that seems like a very dangerous game if there's IPAs involved.
Yeah. Yep. There was a doubleheader of Monday Night Football that night. I think the Dolphins played the Patriots. In the late game might have been something like the Chargers and Raiders.
So was it like week one?
Yeah. 2011, I want to say.
Do you miss when they did it that way?
I did. I do, yeah. What is the debrief supposed to be about, by the way? We've just been ruminating about all kinds of different stuff that might only interest you and me.
The debrief, July 28, 2025. So we discussed Ben Roethlisberger being put into the Steelers Hall of Honor as part of the just 3-man class that will represent the honor in 2025. The other guys in that group, Marquise Pouncey and Joey Porter, Pony, I think this is going to be a class that is very hard to top for me. It's a little bit unfair to take like the first two classes that they did because
yeah,
they were
just
huge.
Yep.
But since they brought it down to like 3 or 4 or 5 guys, this is going to be tough for a generation of Steeler fans to like find a better one. Ben was the quarterback for an entire generation.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Pouncey was his center. And even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, he almost got to play in when he got hurt in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, what he did in the whole Mason Rudolph Myles Garrett thing spoke volumes to a lot of people. Like, this is the type of guy you want to be going down a dark alley with. Cabali says that all the time. And then Porter was the lifeblood of that Super Bowl 40 defense. He may not have been the best player, but, I mean, the man was really, I think, like the sidecar to Jerome Bettis, one of the main vocal reasons as to why they got there.
So I wonder how many guys from those two Super Bowl teams are still going to get in to the Hall of Honor. Bettis is in. Fanica's in. Farrier's in.
Mm-hmm.
Hampton's in. Harrison is in.
Willie Parker is in.
Willie Parker is in. Heath Miller is already in. Troy is obviously in. Now you've got this class. Aaron Smith is in. Hines is in. That's 11 guys from those two teams. Who else from Super Bowl winning teams can they put in? Kiesel would be a borderline one.
Yeah.
Ike would be another one for sure.
I think they would end up putting both of those guys in. Because the 08 defense,
it's one of the greatest of all time.
It's getting to a point with how, like, my dad's generation remembers the defenses of the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be telling my kids about the 08 defense while they are watching the Steelers get 40 points put on them in the playoffs. And I'll say, I'll tell you who never let that happen. These guys. And I'll show them that like Sports Illustrated cover.
Yes. So who else from those teams? Kiesel? Ike?
What about Holmes?
Yeah. Santonio?
Because I feel like his run, he should absolutely be in there. Is Harrison in there?
Yeah, I mentioned
him. Okay.
Yep. I don't think, my point is there's not a lot of guys from those years that are left to put in, so we're going to start to transition into guys who played post-Super Bowl winning Steelers eras like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and dudes like that.
Yeah, so the rule is that you have to be retired for at least 3 seasons.
Okay.
You must have played for the Steelers for a minimum of 3 seasons. And then it just says, should possess noteworthy career highlights, records, achievements.
So by that standard of what you just said there, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown should absolutely go into the Steelers Hall of Fame, or Hall of Honor someday.
Yeah. Yeah, they should absolutely be in there for me. I mean, it could be down the road. Who knows? But
so is now you're not going to have, because of the issue with Antonio is obviously there's a lot, but you wouldn't have him go in with Roethlisberger because I just don't think you'd want that. You wouldn't want to create something that's controversial for no reason. Because I don't know if AB is officially retired or not, but his last game was in 2021 when he ran off the field without his shirt on. That was at the end of that season. So he's been out of football for three years now. Mm-hmm. So he would be eligible, right?
Yeah, I always wonder, too, like, do they have to file their paperwork that they are done?
I'll give you another guy who I don't think is in yet who's got to go in is Cordell.
Cordell would get a good pop, too.
He's the third best quarterback in team history.
Yep.
I know he did not do it for a super long time.
Maddox? No, they wouldn't put him in there. Randall L., Ryan Clark. Those are a couple of suggestions on the text line.
I don't think Randall L. would get in. And Ryan, I think, would. I love Ryan. I think I'd put Larry Foote in before him. Because he had a longer Steelers career.
What about Timmons?
Timmons has got to get in, too. Before him. The Steelers also cut Cordarrelle Patterson today. Can Donnie name the last guy to return a kickoff for a touchdown for the Steelers?
Oh. Last guy to return a kickoff for... Well, AB had one in 2010.
That was against Tennessee.
I think Jack... Does Jack have it?
Jack?
Is it Juju?
It is!
Oh, against the Browns!
Yeah. 2017. It's the last one.
You know who else popped into my mind? What was the guy's name? Alan Rossum?
Against San Francisco.
Yeah.
Randall L's got one. I know that.
Antonio Brown had the one on the trick play. On the first play of the
year.
Well,
that was the AB one. That was like his first ever game.
I think Alan Rossum's got a couple of kickoff return touchdowns with the Steelers. I feel like I've watched another game with him. Or maybe it's not. Who does?
I only remember the one.
Maybe it's not him. Will Blackwell has multiple kickoff returns for touchdowns. There's a game against the Ravens in 97 where he took one back, I want to say. I remember Eric Pegram returned a kickoff for a touchdown. When Bettis played against the Rams, when it was like his revenge game against the Rams, when they were still in St. Louis, Eric Pegram returned a kickoff for a touchdown against them. For sure.
That's a good pull. I miss the days where the Steelers would just have like Najee Davenport and Kerry Davis back there returning kicks.
I mean, Jeff brought up Caleb Johnson. That kind of shocked me. I don't really think of him as a kick return guy. I think of him, I know he's got the second level burst that people are talking about. I think of him more as a power back, don't you?
Yeah, they used to love doing that, though, with like the big
backs.
Oh,
you're right. I'm going to look that up. Will Blackwell. Do you remember him?
Vaguely.
Number 89?
Yes.
Let's see if I'm right about that. Career kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Because he would have crossed over with like Yancey Thigpen, Charles Johnson.
Yeah, I'm right, too. One against Baltimore, I was in 97. And then in 2000 against San Diego, he returned a kickoff for a touchdown. That would have been a Ryan Leaf game. 34-21. Cordell versus Ryan Leaf. Leaf that day, 15-29, 171, one touchdown, one interception. By his standards, not bad.
Somebody suggesting Lamar Woodley.
For the Hall of Fame?
Hall of Honor.
Hall of Honor, I mean. I mean, Donnie, that playoff run was so spectacular, he probably should be.
Yeah. He was. How about this one? This would actually get a big pop. I don't know if the guy is worthy. Probably not. Chris Fu. Fuamatuma Fall.
No,
could
worthy.
You imagine him?
DeCastro's got to get in.
Yes.
But that's now moving, obviously, past the Super Bowl era. All right.